leading us through the discussion. We have your peers. We have Craig Shively with Geisinger. And Craig, I just want to check in. You're on the line with us.
I am. Thanks for having me, Doug.
Oh, well, thank you. I was just going to say, I rely on Craig. Every few months, he'll send me an email that, and he'll say, Dennis, it's time for another webinar. And so thank you, Craig, very much for being a driving force behind our webinars this year. And I want to extend that same invitation to all of you. Anytime a topic or an issue comes up that you would like us to address in a webinar, just drop me or Jennifer Bosley on our team an email, and we'll connect and start to work on setting that up. Also with us on the call today is Tony Frawley. Many of you know Tony with Health Alliance Plan. Hi, Tony.
Hello. Thanks for letting me join the call today.
Oh, it's great. Thank you. Tony raised a question on our discussion forum that fit right into today's topics. I'll let her introduce it. And so thank you, Tony. And then we also have our colleagues that have joined us on these calls in the past. We've got Fritz and Eric with Milliman. Guys, are you on the call too?
We are.
Yes.
We are.
Glad yes, we are.
Perfect. We rely on your subject matter expertise, guys, so thank you very much. And they'll be chiming in as we go throughout this discussion with any kind of specific information that they may have as well. So with that, because this is an open call, it's like extremely important we've left that you not place us on mute, on hold. And if you're in a noisy location, that you self-mute your phone. We're keeping all of the lines open so that everybody can just chime in with your comments or questions at any time. But in order for that to work, we need, you know, to be able to hear one another. So please do not place us on mute. On hold, and self-mute if you're in a noisy location or working at your desk. Just remember to unmute your line when you want to speak up. Also, this call is being recorded, so if there are others in your organization that can benefit from the discussion today, they can go back and log into the website to today's event and get a download of the recording there. One last favor, and then we'll jump into our discussion. Some of the things that we will discuss today, you may be sitting there thinking, oh, I've got information on that, or I've got a document I could share, or I've got an example of something we have done in that space. I really encourage you, after the call, to take just the minute that's required to either send us those documents, or you can upload them yourself to today's event. That will help our discussion go a lot further today. So thank you for thinking of that. And I lied. I do have one more favor to ask. That is, as you sign off of today's call, because we're audio only. You're not going to have a chance to do a survey. That just hit me. But if you have any comments about the call, feel free to send me an email, and we appreciate your feedback. Man, I was kind of long-winded there. So let's jump into our discussion. And Tony, I'm going to let you introduce your topic and then get our discussion started. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Dennis, for teeing that up. So I reached out to Dennis, and there's a couple things that we've been working on here at Health Alliance Plan, and we're very interested in hearing how others are approaching them from a strategic perspective. And we talked about how I'm going to just kind of tee these three topics up and just explain them so that make sure we're all level set on the topic for today. So for the first one is the HSA new regulation. So in July of 2019, the IRS released this notice about additional preventive care benefits permitted to be provided by a high deductible health plan. So this was effective on July 17th of 2019. However, this is a permitted regulation. So it's not a must-have, and I think, at least from my perspective, that sort of got us all working really hard to figure out whether we should or should not do this. The notice The notice expands the list of preventive care benefits permitted to be provided by a high deductible health plan without a deductible, or with a deductible below the applicable minimum deductible. So generally, I think all of us know, right, in an HDHP, benefits are not provided until after the minimum deductible is satisfied. So this goes against that. However, it is only for specific conditions. So there's a lot of rules around this thing. Items on the permitted list include, but not limited to, insulin, beta blockers, blood pressure monitors, glucometers, etc. But again, there's a list of those things and the condition that the member must have in order to have this service provided prior to meeting the deductible. So those things are, so it's a little bit, I think, complex from a configuration perspective, and the fact that not everybody has to do it is causing groups to think about, or carriers to think about, strategically, should we be the one that offers it? What would that do to the rate? Would that cause adverse selection, et cetera? That's the first topic. I'm going to tee up the other two HRAs, and then I think we'll open it up. So the HRA option, first one I want to tee up, is the individual coverage HRA. In parentheses, it looks like ICHRA, but I don't know, that's a horrible sounding thing, but ICHRA. And these products are available for 1/1/2020, I believe, but they can be used to reimburse employees for individual health insurance premiums. Okay? So it promotes employee and employer flexibility, maintains the same tax-favored status for the employer who's contributing towards this to a group health plan. And basically how it works, in my understanding, is the employer offers an employee a monthly allowance amount, and then the employee in turn buys the health care that fits their personal needs for them and their family, and then the employer reimburses them tax-free up to the allowance amount. Now, there are no contribution minimums or maximums for this individual coverage HRA, and they are eligible to cover individual insurance premiums as well as other medical expenses. So that's one new HRA thing. The second one is called the Accepted Benefit HRAs, or EBHRA. And in this product, the HRA permits employers to finance additional medical costs even if the employee has declined enrollment in the traditional group health plan. So it could still cover copays, deductibles, whatever, but it's not covered by the primary health care plan. In this product, the annual contribution must be limited to $1,800 per year. Employers do, however, have the option to roll over remaining balances. The expected benefit HRA cannot be used to reimburse individual health insurance premiums, although it can reimburse premiums for accepted benefits such as dental and vision, long-term care, short-term limited duration insurance, and things like that. And any size employer who also offers group health plan options can offer this EBHRA. So, Dennis, with that, I think I'm going to kick it back to you and see if you want to then kick off the discussion. Or Craig, do you want to take it from here and talk about short-term limited duration?
I'm sorry, Tony. I'd forgotten to take myself off of mute. So thank you, Tony. Thanks for setting the level set. And giving us that context and background. So let's start, let's open it up and see if, first of all, is everybody, you know, and I hate to ask it this way, Tony, but I just want to double check. Does everybody kind of understand the way Tony explained it, and would you agree with her interpretation of the rules and the regulations? So let's start there. Let's make sure we all have a common understanding. So anybody want to comment? Have you taken a look at the rules and regulations? Would you add anything to what Tony said or clarify anything that Tony said? And it's okay for you to say that Tony got it exactly right. That's okay to say, too.
Hey, Dennis, this is Fritz Bush from Milliman.
Hi, Fritz.
I would just add maybe just a couple things to what Tony said, which she did get it exactly right. So I just
thank you, Fritz.
Yeah, you're welcome. A couple things I would add to that. The ICRA, which is not a good acronym, but we'll call it that. First of all, from an employer perspective, it does fulfill the employer mandate because it's considered minimum essential coverage, and it's actually considered a group health plan from an ERISA perspective. So provided that the person goes out and actually gets coverage, which they have to attest to, by the way, and if they don't, there's, you know, some bad things happen. So, you know, you do have to get the coverage, and there's an attestation form that they have to fill out. And I want to say they even have to check a box before they even accept the money that they're going to get it. So anyway, you have to have it and the coverage. And so the combination of the ICRA and the individual coverage then fulfills the employer mandate from the employer's perspective. The other thing to note is that if any of the employees are eligible for tax credits on the exchange, they are not if they accept the money in the ICRA account and then go get it. So in other words, they get the money from their employer and they say, yeah, they agree to it. And then they go out and they find out, I make less than 400% of the federal poverty level. I would have otherwise gotten a premium tax credit. Well, now they don't. So there's no double dipping. You can't take the money from the employer and go get your premium tax credit. So that's important to remember. I think it's probably a wash, you know, for the employee. They're getting an affordable. That's the other thing is on these accounts is they do have to be, quote, affordable. So there is affordability constraints put on employers. So they can't just say, oh, okay, yeah, I got this ICRA, and then put in some paltry contribution. You know, it has to be deemed affordable if they want to fulfill the mandate, the employer mandate. The coverage has to be affordable. And it's the same affordability guidelines as on the exchange. So it has to be 9.86 or 9.78, something like that. And it changes a little bit each year, but it's close to 10%. So there are some constraints like that as well. So that employers, you know, it's not just a subterfuge to get around the employer mandate. So that was the third thing. And then, let's see, I had one other note here, but my notes aren't particularly organized. Oh, the other one was it has to be, it's only one or the other. So in other words, if an employer has a traditional group health plan, just a normal benefit plan, they can only offer one or the other. They can't offer both. So there's no choice on the employee's part that says, "Oh, I'll take the traditional coverage as opposed to the ICRA." So basically, the rule is to be eligible for the ICRA, you cannot be eligible for the normal traditional group health plan, which basically means there's no choice. You either get one or the other. So. And then the last thing that I would mention that Tony didn't actually mention was, and this is, I don't know how deep we want to go into this, but there is the QCERA as well. Now that's been around a while. And that's got a couple, that's the QCERA is the Qualified Small Employer, so QSE, Qualified Small Employer, HRA, QCERA. I call it QCERA. So there is that thing hanging out there as well, and that's a little bit different, and I'm going to pause there, and then if nobody asks any questions on that, that means nobody cares about the QCERA, and then we don't have to talk about it, but but there is that sort of alternative vehicle as well.
Hey, Fritz, it's Tony. When did the QCERA come out? At the same time these other ones did, or different?
No, it was, you know, it was a part of the 21st Century Cures Act, and that was, I don't know, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And it didn't make a huge splash because it's small group only, for one. Which small group is a much more limited market than see, these ICRAs are, they're everybody. They're everybody and their brother. You know,
right.
Self-funded, large group, everybody. So it's a much bigger deal. These QCERAs were you know, only small group.
Okay.
And they had some limits to them, so they had like a limited amount that you could. You mentioned like on the ICRAs, unlimited contributions, right? They can put whatever they want in it, and
okay.
The ICRAs can be funded by employer and employee. The QCERAs, on the other hand, had a limit. It's like $5,000 a year, and that's it's only fundable by the employer. So $5,000 isn't nearly enough to get, you know, if you get older people who are up at the top of that age curve, that's not it's not really enough to fund their premium on the exchange. So they had some limitations to them. The ICRA is much more expansive.
Fritz, thank you very much for that. So let's open up the discussion. Any other questions or level set or education we need to do? Everybody understand? You can say yes.
Yep.
All right. Well, then let's open up the discussion, and Tony, maybe you can start us off. What has at HAP? What have you been thinking about? What you mentioned some of the implications, configuration, and all of that, and you mentioned self-selection and some. What are some of the things that HAP has been considering as you've been thinking through this?
Yeah, so we're early in the stages. I mean, we've been watching and seeing what our competitors are doing, and a lot of times people are kind of silent on it because they just don't know what they're doing. Agents are asking, what are you doing? And we just say, we're evaluating and we'll let you know. So, but it's a very complex analysis if we're trying to get the data to drive the decision whether to do it or not. You have high deductible health plan and people at various stages, and you know, we struggle with also the good behind the intent of the regulation, which is to remove barriers of care to people who really need those things like insulin and stuff like that end up having to be in a qualified high deductible health plan and maybe had no other choice. That was the only option they had to get insurance. So
mm-hmm.
we grapple with we get the intent. But the fact that the regulation was sort of loosey-goosey to begin with, if it just said you must, we'd all be doing it, it'd be easier, you know. But we struggle with trying to get the right data to analyze, to come up with, would it be, you know, is it going to kill us to do this, you know, financially? How is it going to rate the, you know, are we going to have our products rated so high that we're going to lose competitively? That kind of thing. So we're still out there. And I'd appreciate to hear what others are doing or thinking of as well.
Let's ask, what are other others on the call? Have you taken, are you looking at this? Where are you at in that process? Maybe you're just getting started. Maybe you're just learning about it on today's call. That's okay. Kind of where are you at in the process, and what are some of the things that you're looking at, and what are some of the implications that you're seeing? since this is an audio only call, I can't tell who is on the call, so y'all are fortunate. I can't call out names. So I'm going to have to rely on you to speak up.
Dennis, this is Fritz again. I did have a question for Tony on their HSA. Tony, did you? I only read a little bit about the conditions that were sort of accepted on the HSA, but you mentioned one of them was like insulin. You know, obviously, I'll bet you there's other stuff on there that's for chronic conditions. But have you had discussions with, say, your medical director in terms of, you know, if insulin is available now, first dollar, I actually don't know if it's now first dollar or reduced cost sharing or what it would be, but would they anticipate improved, you know, adherence and just overall better health and therefore reduced ultimate claims costs under the HSA policy? Have they talked about that at all?
Yeah, we were waiting for the data and to then have the meeting with the medical management folks as well. But I could give you a couple of examples. Like one of the things on the list is an ACE inhibitor, but for individuals diagnosed with congestive heart failure, diabetes, and or coronary artery disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know what I mean, to be able to tag people that way, this to me is very VBID-ish. Value-based insurance design. And that's hard to do configuration-wise as well, right? If somebody is now tagged as having a disease, it's condition-specific. I assume people shouldn't have ACE inhibitors if they are not one of those three or four categories, but sometimes pharmaceutical products are used for other things, and so if ACE inhibitors, and again, I'm not a pharmacist at all, but if that kind of drug is used for something other than the three conditions listed on this, then it gets even harder, you know, because it's not just that type of drug, it's that type of drug plus the category. We definitely want to engage our medical management folks in that discussion because I get the intent is great, you know, remove the barriers to care. It also, in the regulations that I've read, it doesn't say that you have to give it for free. You can still have cost share on it. You just don't have to have the cost share after the deductible. So that's, you know, helps with the rating kind of thing because cost share would still apply. In our little world, when we call something preventive, it means you get it for free. So now we have another category of these things, which are not free, but they're not subject to the deductible, but a bunch of other things are. I don't know if that helped or not.
Yeah, it does, and my, you know, to your point, I it's one of those things, and maybe Lillian and the others have talked about this. You know, it's do you really want to be the first one out there?
Exactly.
Offering,
we want to attract every diabetic that's in our service
that's
area
right.
away from our competitors, and then they're good to go, right?
Yeah. Well, and I wonder too. I got to make sure I think through the sequence of this right. I'm wondering if on a post you're talking about ACA business, small group or individual, then on a post risk adjusted basis, you know, because if you do attract those diabetics, well, you get an HCC for that, so you got to make sure you get that, and then you get some risk adjustment revenue back, and maybe in the end.
Yeah.
Who knows? But that's an analysis that you would have to do some type
Correct.
Of a net gain. So
right, assuming our risk adjustment stuff is sound and coding is correct and all that other good stuff. But then, as you know, your point of well, that's great for the ACA book, right? And then if you
yep.
only do this for the ACA book, then how much confusion will this be in all of our other products for large and ACO, ASC, ASO stuff for our customer service to be able to handle this different level of complexity for one small group of one small segment versus all of our business.
Right.
I worry about service failures than if we just do this for one set, but I get the reason why you would only do it for the ACA products.
Yeah. And you could do it for the self-insured products, too, because you don't, you know, that's up to them, right?
I know, but I'm scared that one of them will ask and then we'll have to do it.
I'm just talking actuarial here. I know you got operational stuff that could completely overwhelm anything else. So,
I mean, any other health plans, you know, what's your thoughts, your strategies? What are you thinking?
Let's hear from some other folks on the line.
Dennis, you're going to need your list.
Tony, you may be very high up on the curve here, or everyone is just really quiet today.
I think they're quiet. Hey, Craig, how about you guys? Thoughts?
Well, I was gonna open the discussion on the ICHRA. You know, internally here at GHP, we've had, you know, little talks about it, but we haven't come up with a strategy, of course, because every line of business is busy preparing for, you know, open enrollment on Medicare and individual and group. And but this just takes effect in 2020, so I was interested to see, you know, what health plans' strategies were as far as distribution goes, and maybe cross-training small business reps to now be versed in individual, to be able to sell individual, to be able to help train brokers and things like that. So that's where, because I run the individual, I was more inclined to ask about, you know, the ICHRA and see what other plans we're doing with regard to that.
But do you have individual plans that are HDHP that would be impacted potentially by this as well?
We don't, no.
You don't?
We have 14 plans. We just, for this year, we have new offerings with the Premier Network around our Geisinger-owned facilities and our core markets. But, yeah, we don't have any HDHPs.
Ah, okay.
Well, Craig, why don't you go ahead and jump into the topics that you wanted to raise?
Sure, yeah. What I wanted to do, and I think I talked briefly about this on our last call, but I wanted to talk about what Geisinger Health Plan is doing with the short-term limited duration and then open it up for discussion to see if any other health plans are thinking about this or even as far along as we are, or if they're not, why not, I guess. So for Geisinger, what we've done is we have internally an implementation team assembled with all the departments needed. And, you know, we meet on a weekly, some quarterly meetings, and then biweekly on benefits and filing and things. And what we wanted to do is we wanted to get our implementation timeline down to 3 months. So, in other words, we want to be a three-month fast follower. You know, for a couple different reasons, some of which were mentioned before, but, you know, for this product, I'm not sure if you want to be first to the market, maybe a close second. I'm sure other health plans are looking at it saying, well, we don't necessarily want this product to cannibalize our ACA business, especially if you're profitable on that side. That's the stance we've taken. We've said, okay, you know, what are the major lifts, what are the costs, and how can we get our timeline to be ready to launch in 3 months at any given moment? So that's our direction. Some of the characteristics that we have, we're going to offer two different plans, a high and low, you know, and that'll be based on cost share. For the high option, you'll have an optional rider that you can purchase that will have a more enhanced RX benefit and maternity, things like that, some outpatient services. This will be, you know, enrolled daily, so it will be a quick turnaround. It won't be just first of the month. It will be per diem when the application is approved. We are going to do you know, as opposed to traditional short term as we knew it in the past, we are going to do a little more underwriting up front, and that would include, you know, some RX profiling, probably some internal medical record lookup as far as those folks that have used Geisinger facilities. And then we will have the application that will have the all-encompassing 5-6 questions for the medical questionnaire. We will charge an application fee. We will take the first month's payment up front, and then we will require them to give us payment methodology for the following month. So we have that, and it's electronic, and there'll be no billing. People can term with the proper notice, but again, it will be a 364-day policy. And at the end of that policy, we'll give proper notice as well that they are going to terminate, and they are welcome to reapply. So it's not guaranteed renewal, obviously, like the medically underwritten days prior to ACA. This will be, that you can reapply, and for obvious reasons, one of which the biggest will be that we would have any, you know, claims data from the prior year. So right now, again, we're just we're working internally most of all on looking at what the portal build would look like and cost for the online portal, sort of add that to our existing portal. And then we're working on the form filing just because the language in there takes some time. We have a basis model off of one of our older individual PPO products, but that does take some time. So we're working through that. We're going to condense to a 3-month timeline. Again, just wanted to bring it up to see if any other health plans are doing the same, if they thought about it, why or why not, or if anyone else is looking to launch this short-term limited duration.
Thank you, Craig. You have made progress since our last phone call in putting together some of the operational and logistical and mechanical things on your product. So thank you for getting us up to speed. So are there others on the phone call that either have a question for how Geisinger is approaching short-term limited duration or would be willing to share some of the operational things that you're working on in this space? A number of you have shared on our previous calls what you're doing, so I hope you'll chime in today.
Craig, this is Eric from Milliman. Quick question on some of the benefits. I didn't quite recall or didn't hear if you're offering prescription drug benefits and if there are a lot of inside limits, or does it look a little bit more like an ACA light type plan with close to the EHBs?
We're going to offer a three-tier. It won't have the essential health benefits. We'll have the normal preventive care, and then for prescription drug, we're going to offer a three-tier type program with the generic not being susceptible to deductible and a lower copay.
Okay, thanks.
Sure.
Again, open it up. Anyone on the call, feel comfortable. Maybe it's a question, maybe just sharing, are you working in this space on short-term limited duration? We know from previous calls that a number of you are looking at it, so feel free to speak up.
Hey, Craig, it's Tony. And what made you guys decide to get to this point? I believe, and Fritz might tell me if I'm right or wrong, but in Michigan, we didn't extend the time frame. So to us, it didn't seem like a strategic approach for us. So why did you head down this path?
Well, for us, our Pennsylvania didn't opposed the timeline, so we're on the Fed regulation, and so plans in Pennsylvania are allowed to offer up to 364 days. So we wanted to be prepared. We were in the short-term space before where we offered a 30, 60, or 90-day product, and that was okay. I think we were in that space primarily because our medically underwritten PPO product did take a little more time than usual to be medically underwritten. So we offered that to folks as a bridge. But for this, you know, as they took away the penalty and some other talks of dismantling, we wanted to be prepared somewhat to again be a fast follower if others join this market. You know, folks that aren't eligible for APTC, you know, or in between jobs or pre-Medicare, are aging off, you know, so we just wanted to be prepared in Pennsylvania to see if, to make sure we were ready for to be a fast follower to get a piece of that market.
Yeah. And did you have, was your block that you had previously with the 30, 60, 90 days, was that, you know, was it profitable or was it meant to be a loss leader to get people then to convert over to an individual full-time product?
It was both, but the volume wasn't there, so that it wasn't a very big margin, you know?
Yeah, okay.
Again, others on the call, you might have a question. You might be willing to just to simply to share where you're at, things you're working on in this product space. Tony and Craig, I'm beginning to wonder if we have anybody on the call.
I know.
Well, let's move then. Hopefully there's somebody on the call because I really would like your feedback because I've talked to Tony and Craig both about the idea of doing a fly-in next year that in the commercial product space. And so I would like to hear from folks as to kind of what should we prioritize. We've done fly-ins on ASO business. And so that relates, of course, to a lot of times to large group. And then, as I mentioned, in 2018, we did a fly-in on individual and small group. And then earlier this year, we did a fly-in around multi-location employers and national networks to support those strategies. So one initial thought that I had is and we would do it in early 2020, depending on what your product development cycle is, but to focus in on individual and ACA and exchange product design, pricing, marketing, et cetera. Tony and Craig, you've given me your feedback, but you might want to share some of that here. But let me open it up. And do other folks have what's your reaction to that? What are some of the topics that we should be sure to cover if we do a fly-in like that?
Boy, I think you might be right. There's no one on the call.
There I might be. I've got my team here researching, going out online and finding out if I can tell if I've got anybody on the line here. We had 21 folks register, so hopefully somebody made it through.
Hey, Dennis, it's Tony. While we're waiting for someone to pop on, the other thing I thought about was there's some potential regs out there for wellness products in the individual ACA space, incentives, you know, gift card things if you do risk assessments or you go to the gym them or do whatever. I saw something like that. I think it's just kind of they're thinking about it, not anything yet. But if we were to have something early 2020, I'd love to put that on the agenda.
Got it. That's a great, good suggestion. Thank you, Tony.
Yep. And I'm all for early 2020, earlier better. Not like what Craig says. But since he and I are the only ones on the call besides Milliman, it's our show.
you guys get to decide.
We get to pick the lunch menu too, right?
Exactly.
Hi, everyone. This is Melinda from AvMed Health Plans. You're not alone.
Oh, thank you, Melinda. I feel so much better.
You know, I'm just trying to absorb the information you're sharing. So I also saw a little strange saying something, and then I don't have anything else to say. But anyhow, here where we're at in Miami and Florida, it's lunchtime, so that could be potentially.
That could be it.
I mean,
yeah.
It all depends where everyone's calling from.
This is her colleague, Jackie, and yes, our blood sugar is low, so our thoughts are really behind everyone else's.
I gotcha. Well, you guys have any idea? You guys, what are your thoughts in terms of would this fly-in be of interest, and what might be some topics that we should cover?
So for us, potentially the individual ACA. Not so much the ACA, but for the exchange, for information on the exchange purposes and implementing designs on the exchange, and also what Tony just referenced, wellness products tied to risk assessments.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be interesting for us to have as part of this fly-in. So in regards to other stuff, I mean, the HSA new regulation, the ICRA, the EBHRA, those are things that we're really not doing anything. We're gathering requirements. We're gathering information on at this point in time. We haven't really gone up, you know, we're looking.
Mm-hmm.
We're processing the information. We're looking to see what we potentially do for these topics in 2021.
Great.
Hey, Melinda, it's Tony. Can I ask a question?
Mm-hmm.
Are you getting pressure from your agents or to find out what you are going to do because they're waiting for you? Or what do you find that your competitors in the Miami area are doing? What do you know that they're doing?
So right now, to be honest, it's just like trying to, what you had mentioned before, trying to see the early stages. What is the competition going to be doing? Because we really don't know yet. We do have a sales event next week where a lot of agents and brokers will be attending. So for the ICRA piece, actually the sales team yesterday asked us for some talking points as to potentially what agents could bring up, talk about in this meeting. We do know Health Equity is our vendor partner and they will be attending this event and they have given us information as to, you know, what they're doing, what they're seeing, their timelines, product ideas for 2020. Right now, we're just absorbing, trying to see what we can share with agents.
Got it. So we also use Health Equity, and have you been talking to a guy named Hiram?
Yes, we spoke to Hiram in August, and he is, we work through our product account manager, and he is the person, the go-to person for these.
Okay. We went to them and said, okay, partner, how can you support us in this process? You know, how would you set up the account? You know, but it felt, they're also waiting to see if they're not going to put a whole lot of structure in this and to see unless it will do them any good financial, you know what I mean? They're looking to see whether they're not going to put a bunch of IT operational stuff in play until they see whether there's a market for this. So I think they're taking I'm going to go super manual and I'll just put money in an account and you can reimburse and submit paper. No real integration at this point.
Correct.
So for us, we're like, well, we need some distribution channels, maybe some other ones, like some private exchanges to put maybe some HAP individual products out there. I would love it if they could create a triangle between that distribution channel and Health Equity and HAP. So that there's full integration. Doesn't seem like anybody wants to play there yet.
And that's pretty much what we're getting from them. I mean, they're launching an initial offering as a premium-only ICHRA. As they gain some experience as to what the demand is for this type of product, they also continue evaluating what the market is going to do and decide how to, you know, how to meet the market demand. We do know, I mean, what I do know right now is that they plan to have, so sometime at the end of this month, they have some, they're initially going to be sales ready. So they're going to have sales presentations and some information on that one product that they're offering for, to be enrollment ready for December 1st for an effective date of January 1st. So that's part of their timeline.
Yeah. But nothing integrated, right?
No. Yeah. Not as of yet.
Yeah.
I mean, and they did mention something, you know, anticipated product demand, you know, that they feel that primary consultants will not be pushing these sort of products. So, you know, they're looking at the political landscape. They're still seeing their timeline. So we'll see. I mean, more to come on that, but.
Yeah.
From your this is Dennis. From your conversations, you may know, and we were talking with Health Equity recently, and they did close on their deal with WageWorks.
Correct.
Yep.
So
yep.
You know, so they've now, you know, that greatly expands their HRA capabilities. So they'll be able to bring a lot more to the table. Yeah.
Yeah, I talk to my account person with Health Equity every other week, and so she was saying they're still there's so much to go through, but they feel like their product suite and their capabilities will be expanded, but didn't seem like it's there right this minute.
No, it's not there yet, but, you know, I think that they are, you know, it's now going to be possible. That raised the question that a health plan asked me last week when I was out visiting, and that is thinking through, and I'm not going to say this right, but thinking through how these different products stack with one another, if you will. Does that, I don't,
you
like
mean,
I said,
you
I'm,
mean HRA first, and you can,
yeah,
it's
exactly, yeah, yeah.
I know Health Equity and WageWorks have that capability to do a lot of stacking. But.
Yeah.
It depends on which pieces you're putting together. You know, if you have an HSA, you can have a limited purpose HRA, but you can't have the full one. You know, I mean, there's some rules around
right.
there.
Right.
But of the applicable stacks, I think they all can do these things. And now that they've got the EBHRA, and it's like there's more things now to stack.
Well, did the folks at AvMed, did you have a question you wanted to put out to the group or anything?
No, I actually just wanted to mention the interest in the individual exchange,
okay.
The client.
Great.
Melinda, are you on the exchange? Or are you just
We are not.
Okay.
We are off exchange, and we are looking to gather information and see the feasibility of being on the exchange. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, Dennis, that's sort of where we are at HAP2. We offer
uh-huh.
off exchange individual, and maybe we throw that on the agenda of what it takes to how to come to the decision to go back on after we all
right.
pulled off, whoever pulled off.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, even if they'd never been on, every year I hear from plans that say, we're going through this evaluation again. You know,
yeah.
every year they go through it because you don't, you know. So I think that's an excellent suggestion, Tony.
Great. So I think we have a full agenda for January. So when are we doing it?
Already. Already. Well, here, we've got just 6 more minutes. So let me... Anybody else on the phone call, I'd love to hear from you, even if it's just to simply say, yeah, Dennis, that's a great idea. We'll be there.
Hi, this is Jean from Scott White Health Plan here in Central Texas.
Hey, thanks.
And so I haven't chimed in because we don't offer short-term plans. It was an executive decision for us not to get into that. But I think the fly-in is a great idea. We actually came up for the one in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And it was extremely informative. So we actually have our kickoff meeting to start planning the 2021 portfolio. for ACA small group and individual in December, and we actually start putting numbers on paper in January, so the earlier the better for us.
Yeah, so we're thinking about very early January, like probably not the first week because people, you know, get back from the holidays, but possibly the second or third week of January is what I'm thinking right now. How would that sound to people?
I agree with the comment, the earlier the better. We as well and AvMed are starting to look at what we want to incorporate, the ideas and gathering feasibility and all that stuff. We start doing that sometime. We start doing it actually now, what we're calling the
right.
ideation stage. So definitely the sooner the better.
Okay, great.
Same here for HAP. We start as soon as that, you know, the NBPP, you know, thing comes out, and we're hoping it comes out around Thanksgiving. We digest it. We like to get a head start in the month of December, so in January we hit the ground running with a bunch of research
mm-hmm.
already done. So
yep.
earlier, sure. better.
Yeah, I meet, we have our kickoff party. This is Jean again, which is our health plan. We have our kickoff in December, and that's where I give my large, deep dive presentation of three-year look back, the competitors, and everything. So then in January, we have all that data that they were able to digest for about 3 weeks, and then we come back with a plan.
Yeah. Who is this speaking?
This is Jean from Skyway Health Plan in Central Texas.
Oh, okay, great. Hi, Jean. Thanks.
And this will also be, you know, we've had the merger with First Care Health
right.
Plans
right.
out of Austin and Lubbock area. Huh. So I think this will be one of the first ones that I know. I believe that my boss will be
great.
Hopefully able to attend and all that kind of stuff. So I think it'll be good for those First Care folks to be able to get in on this and
mm-hmm.
do that as well.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yep. Anybody else on
and
the call?
Dennis, this is Fritz from Milliman. I didn't catch the name of the lady from AvMed who was speaking earlier.
Oh, so this is Melinda Frometa, and on the call is also Jackie Cruz. From AvMed. So Melinda's in product and Jackie's in regulatory affairs.
Very good. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else on the call? We have a little less than 5 minutes.
Hey, Dennis, this is Jackie. I'm great with a mid-January time frame. Just don't
great.
Put it in Wisconsin or New England.
Actually, it'll be here in our offices in Dallas.
Okay.
How does that? South of the Mason-Dixon for sure.
Okay.
Conway Health Plan is okay with that.
I thought you
so
might be.
So are the Detroit people. We'll come to Texas.
Good deal. Good deal. Anybody else? Ideas or thoughts for this fly-in? Anything else for the good of the group? Well, again, I really want to thank our colleagues, Tony and Craig, for stepping up, bringing up the issues, and being willing to put them out on the table for discussion today. And certainly our subject matter experts from Milliman, Fritz, and Eric, we really rely on you guys. So thank you very much for lending us your expertise today. Anything else from the group? If you think of anything, just drop me an email. And follow the lead from Tony and Craig. If there's any, at any time, a topic or issue that you'd like to raise, we can build a webinar around it and hopefully get more discussion. But it was great. Thank you for those of you that did chime in today. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. And with that, you get a whole 4 minutes back to your day. So thanks,
thank
everybody.
You,
take care.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.